as well. I've enjoyed the singing today and all the singing, different ones. Anybody else got a song? Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're actually going to preach from a verse in 12, but our last verse of 11 and then verse 12. But I want to look at a couple things real quickly. Most of you that are familiar with the Bible or familiar with this portion of Scripture, it lists a lot of people that was examples of faith. Let's begin, if you would, in chapter 11. Notice in verse 4, the Bible says, by faith, Abel. In verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Talks about in verse 9, his faith again. Verse 11, Sarah's faith. Verse 13, talking about they all died in faith. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham again. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. And again in verse 24. Also verse 27, by faith, again Moses. And then also verse 29, by faith. Verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover. Then verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith in verse 31, the harlot Rahab. Let's begin reading in verse number 32. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then, of course, he says, all these were examples of faith, but the greatest example we had when we think that we're going through a trial is Jesus himself. He says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And by the way, we spoke of this the other day. The joy that Jesus had was giving himself for the sins of the world. That was joy. It was tough, as we described this morning. It was the hardest thing. No one's ever done anything any more difficult than what Jesus did. There was no one who ever suffered any more than what Jesus did. But Jesus had joy in doing it because of the purpose in which he was doing it. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted in the blood, striving against sin. Now, he goes on and he talks about in chapter 12 that we don't need to forget that God chastens us as children, and that chastening is good for us, and he describes it. And he also, down verse 15, reminds us that we are able to get bitterness in our lives. Bitterness comes as a result of our reaction to someone else's sin or perceived sin. We get bitter. It's easy to get bitter when you want to blame somebody else. But what the Bible teaches us to do is this: look to our own selves. Look to ourselves. Instead of you sitting there and telling me what I need to do, why don't you just take a look and see what you need to do? And leave it up to me to deal with what I have to do. Now, I want you to underline a certain place in your Bible there in verse number 40 of chapter 11. The Bible says, God having provided some better thing for us, and the last part of that I want you to underline in your Bible, that they without what? Without us, who's us? Us. That they without us should not be made what? Perfect. I want to preach on that tonight. Let me ask you this. How many of you have someone in the Bible that you get encouragement from? Let's see your hands. There's a lot of people I get encouragement from in the Bible. It depends on what I'm going through. When I'm suffering, I like to go no one better than Job. When I go to Job, my suffering seems light. Sometimes I go to Paul, and it looks light. There's other things that in my life that I deal with that I go to different characters in the Bible, and I get a lot from them. Some of you that held your hand up, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. Just few of you, if you would, can somebody tell me a Bible character and with a sentence or two, not a long, lengthy thing, just a sentence or two, the encouragement that you get, what kind of encouragement you get from that person. Anybody do that? Anybody care to do that? Brother Greg.
David, when he lost his child, he said, "Thank you."
You know why that's such a great comfort to Greg? Not many of us in here has lost a young child. Him and Kathy has. And I can imagine what a comfort that was and what a witness that was in their life to be able to pull from that. Anyone else? Yes, Deborah. Amen. Amen. And you know, it's amazing how many children God has brought into your life. Some to keep, some passing through, but some to influence. Anyone else? Anybody else? Brother Eric.
I like David also.
Amen.
He went through a lot, and so he wrote a lot.
Amen.
A lot of different songs. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. He was doing right, and it seemed like everything was still not working out.
Yes. In that particular situation, he was at Ziklag. And man, somebody took all their children, their wives and everything. And I mean, you come home to an empty village, and all the men had turned against him. And I mean, he had nowhere to turn to but the Lord, and seemed to be trying to do the right thing, but everything seemed to be against him. Well, let me ask you something else. Again, just a sentence or two. Does someone have someone that's been in their life that's been an influence in a certain particular area of their life that you don't mind to share for just a minute? Anybody? I don't mean put pressure on you, but I'm putting pressure on you. That's right. And that was a good example this morning. It stirred up a lot of our minds of remembrance that you was talking about. You know, I'll share with someone, I've shared this before, there's a lot of people that's been an influence in my life. But I don't think there's anyone greater than a lady that, where I used to go to church years ago, where I was saved in Sinking Creek Baptist Church. She died in her 90s. I don't remember exactly how old she was. But I remember in her 80s and 90s, we would pass her every Sunday morning. She'd be walking to church. She lived about a mile, mile and a half from church. She'd walk with a cane, and she had little frail brown spotted hands. I remember her hands. And she would walk to church and so forth. But I've told you the story before. One time when I was a young boy, I was sitting in church service behind where Matthew is right there. And during the invitation, she come up. Her name was Cynthia Boone. She came up and she put her arm around me and she called me by my name. I didn't even know she knew what my name was. And she told me that she was praying that I would get saved. And at the time, it was, you know, being a young boy, and flesh, you wonder, well, who's looking and all that. But later on, that meant so much to me after I got saved, to know that someone that was not really very close to me was praying for me and cared enough for me. But I found out that it was not only me, but I've heard several people talk about her testimony, how that she was an influence in their life. And I know sometimes, got the camera on, it's a little harder to get people to speak up and talk. But you see where I'm at now. But I just forget about it, and then I just make mistakes and do whatever I need to do whenever I do it. But the point being is that she influenced a lot of people's lives. Now look back in your Bibles a moment, if you would, in verse number 40 again. We could go through the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And one by one, instead of calling their name, we could go back into their life and see some things that is instrumental in our lives. I don't know how many of you have ever read books, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know how many have ever read the history of the church. I don't know how many have ever read the history of the Bible. I don't know how many of you ever read the history of the Smyrna church when they were being persecuted in Roman Colosseums and made sport. And the testimony of some of those people that didn't even bear a name, but they sat there and they were ravaged by animals. They were made sport of. They were burned alive. Some of them died with a testimony that they were singing praises to God until their tongues burn out. Some of them had to sit and watch their children be flayed alive. Some of them watched their children being boiled in oil. Some of them watched as their children was fed to wild animals. All they had to do was say, "Caesar is Lord," and they could save them. But instead of, if they said, "Jesus is Lord," they would be fed and they would be persecuted and killed. Jesus, He could have stopped. God could have stopped any of it. But he permitted it to go through. But you know, I mentioned that Job, where would we be if Job had not went through what he went through? How about David? If David was not there, what Peter? Elizabeth? Where would we be if those people had not gone? And how many unnamed people that we don't even know about? I mean, they fled to caves. I read whenever they were trying to translate the Bible into English, sometimes they would just take a page and they'd have to hide out in caves. And they'd only have a page in their community, and they would read a page of the Bible. Every day they would come together in a cave and they would read the Bible and spend hours just reading that one page. Can you imagine that? Knowing that if they got caught, they'd probably get killed. Without us, all these people who set an example of faith cannot be made perfect unless we learn and we grow and we get something from their faith. Now, they got rewards in heaven, but this chapter was not written for their rewards in heaven. This chapter was written to encourage us. That people of like passion. You know, one reason I like David is I see a lot of my passions in David. I mean, sometimes there's a passion to fight. Sometimes there's a passion to love. Sometimes there's a passion to minister. Sometimes there's a passion to all kinds of issues, to stand against something. But I see a lot of passions in David. But I want you to understand that without us, these people are not made perfect, because through their acts of faith, we get something that helps us go through our life and endure afflictions when we have to face afflictions, endure hard times when we face hard times. I mean, just like Brother Greg was talking about the loss of a child. Everybody would agree that that's a very difficult time. And there's all kinds of things that goes into your mind, all kinds of emotions in your heart. But now let's look just a few moments, and I want to share with you a thought. You'll stay with me tonight. Number one, these all in chapter 11, they had a couple things in common. Number one, they understood the words of faith. Look, if you would, in verse number one. Now, faith is a substance, chapter 11. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the word substance means that it's made a real. It's made a substance, something that you can touch, something you feel. In other words, what faith does is you fully are so persuaded by what the word says that it's as if it was real, that you could touch it. Okay, a good example would be this. I am standing in Burnside. I am standing in Burnside city limits. Burnside is a real city. But in my mind, in my heart, I've never seen heaven, but heaven is just as real as Burnside is. It is a substance to me. Even though the evidence has not been shown me yet, all I've done is read about it. The gates of pearl, the streets of gold, walls of jasper. I've only read about it, but I believe it to be so. One thing these people had in common is they all believed what God said, even though they hadn't been able to see it. Number two, you need to remember as well that he also declares something about this faith. Faith comes from hearing by the word of God. But he tells us something about faith in verse number six. And most of you are familiar with this verse. But without faith, it is what? Impossible. Say that word again. Impossible. What does impossible mean? Possible. To please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, without faith, believing that God is, and God can, and God will, you can't please God. When you can't see it, but he's only promised you, you can't touch it, but you react in such a way in your heart, you react because God has given you the confidence in his word that that's how you need to react. That's what you need to do. Now notice here, they all kept a destination ahead of them. Look, if you would, in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. How many of you believe those who are in faith is going to a city? How many of you believe this is not our home? These all believe the same thing. You see, we have the encouragement of the Word of God to say we're working for a better place. We don't have to worry. Somebody said, what happens? What happens if this? What happens if that? What happens if this? God is still God. I'm still going to heaven. I'll live my life as long as I can live it, as long as God gives me life here. And when he's through, I'm going to my home. Just like these people did. I may never see what I want to see in America. I may see things that I never wanted to see in America. I'm already seeing things I never want to see in America. But America is just my temporary passing. Number two, they undertook a walk of faith. They not only believed it, they were willing to step out and do something. They undertook a work of faith. They were willing to go and do something that God had laid upon their heart to do. Not only that, they accomplished some things in their work of faith. How many people has accomplished things? I think of people all down through my life. I think of people in this church that has helped accomplish things. Things that they've left a testimony behind, that they've influenced lives in helping accomplish. I was thinking earlier, someone had mentioned a day or two ago about Brother Don, and I was thinking about Brother Don that when I met him, he was working for a cable service making well over $100,000. And God began to burden his heart. He said, God wants me to do a ministry. And I told him, I said, Brother Don, I said, I'd already been praying about starting a Christian school. And he said, I don't know what it is. He said, but it has something to do with children. I said, Brother Don, I know what it is. I said, God's been laying on my heart to start a Christian school. I'd asked Brother Broughton if he would expand his school. He said he didn't have room. And we started a Christian school. First year we had 75 people in our school. Brother Don gave up that job and he come down here and he worked for $16,000 a year. And he told me this. He said, first year, he said, Preacher, I've got less than I've ever had, but I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. And of course, many of you have been influenced by him and touched with him. Some of you children, both good and bad. No one's perfect. Everybody's got goods and strengths and weaknesses. But again, look back, if you would, and notice that these withstood trials of faith. We will all be put through trials. There will be times when things are rough. Life is not easy. This world, as we preach this morning, is an evil, wicked place. It's merciless. It will chew you up, spit you up, destroy you. And it doesn't care if you die on the streets and just fade into the blacktop. It doesn't care if you absorb your life in addictions and destroy your life with issues. It doesn't care. You think the devil has sympathy on you? He came to kill and destroy and steal. That's what he came to do. He's a destroyer, a destruction. And so therefore, what we need to understand is that we all go through trials. As I've mentioned before, some trials God sends as trials of our faith that he puts us through to help us grow. Some trials our sins bring us into. We are self-inflicted storms that we bring ourselves into. By our own actions, we've done things, and those things has caused storms and trials. But all these went through trials, and they endured trials. And some of them endured trials of their own afflictions. I mean, think of David. David went through some things that he brought upon himself. But David went through some things that God just put him through. Last but not least, they were witnesses for the faith. They were witnesses that we needed. I don't know where we'd be sometimes if we didn't have all these people. Can you imagine what we would be if God only revealed every person in the Bible, if they were only revealed in a good light and never showed us the other side of the weakness of their flesh sometimes? Sometimes where they doubted. Sometimes where they quit. Sometimes where they got frustrated. Sometimes when they yield to temptation. Sometimes when they just completely walked away. And you know, sometimes even with David, we'll use David for an example. I think of David sometimes, and the thing that is most marvelous with me about David is God's forgiveness. In the New Testament, you find nothing but words of praise for David. And God could have beat him up, said, remember David, remember what he did. Every time I look at David, I thought of that. God never said such. God loved David. He forgave David. He went on with life. And boy, it's encouragement to me to know that when you stumble and fall and God picks you back up and restores you, that you're able to get back into the work. I'm glad that he just don't leave us laying somewhere on the side of the road. So therefore, we have these witnesses that has been useful to us. Now, the Bible says in verse number 1, chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about. Now, I heard a guy preach one time that this compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses was that we had everybody in heaven looking down on us, watching what we're doing, and every time we do something, they see what we're doing. That's not what the Bible's teaching at all. As a matter of fact, I don't even find that to be a truth in the Bible. I find that everything happening between the heaven and earth is going through by messengers of angels. That as Jacob saw a ladder of angels descending and ascending from heaven, I find that angels go back and forth and report all things going on upon the earth. People in heaven, I don't believe, is able to look down here. I know a lot of people want that and they think that's a comfort, but I don't believe that to be true. I've never found that taught in the Bible. And so therefore, you know, I remember when the souls of those that beheaded in tribulation in Revelation chapter 6, they asked God, how long would it be until he avenged them? You know why they had to ask them? Because they didn't understand what all was going on down in the earth. Now, but the Bible says that we also are compassed about. In other words, we're in a good company. You know what these people were that's over in chapter 11? They were sinners saved by the grace of God. That gives me great encouragement to know that they were not perfect people that couldn't fail. They were sinners saved by the grace of God. And so therefore, my witnesses, my examples that I have, my influences were people just like you and I. But they believed God enough that when God asked them to do something, they did something. And some of them was named, some of them was not named. Some seemed to be big things, some seemed not be such big things. But listen, I don't know how much Cynthia Boone knows that she influenced my life. But she made a great impression upon my life. And you know what? There may be some people living today that has said, you have made a great impression upon their life. I know we was talking about Brother Don. I know whenever we had his funeral, I could not believe how many people come through and told me things that he had influenced in their life, or things were just a situation where he'd helped them and maybe just come and gave them some money in a hard time. And it was amazing how many people was influenced and touched. But notice this, witnesses. Witness is someone who has seen or experienced something. We are compassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. People that has experienced something because of faith. And notice, if you would, they endured. And folks, we can endure. Somebody said, preacher, yeah, you can. God's grace not only saves us, it allows us to serve and it allows us to endure. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong because his grace is sufficient. Not only that, but notice if you would, the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 12, says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Now weights are things that hinders us from being in our service. Let me ask you this without you telling me, but you tell yourself. What are things that hinders you in your service to God? What are things that hinders you? Somebody said, well, it's so-and-so. No, you can't point to somebody else. He's talking about things within you that hinders you. You got your own weights. Weights are hindrances that you have in your life. Not only that, but knows as well, he says, not only every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. In other words, not only do you have hindrances, you also have sins. And you know, every one of us are susceptible to different sins. You may look at me and you say, well, I know yours eating. Well, that may be part of it, I guess. But anyway, the point being is, each of us are susceptible. We have our own hindrances. We have our own sins. Everybody here. Now, Brother Junior, you have them, don't you? Okay. I'm going to pick on Brother Junior. Picking time. His weights and sins, they don't affect me. And they don't hinder me from being an influence. They only hinder him from being a witness to you. Now see, we, without us, all those people listed in the Bible, they can't be perfect. By the word perfect mean they can't be matured. They can't come to bear their fruit unless their indulgence, endurance, helps us to indulge, endure. You follow me? They need us to get something from their lives for them to be able to bear fruit in us. So now, Brother Junior, he runs his race. Look, if you would, back in your Bibles. It says the weights and the sin that so easily besets us. It goes on, it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay? Now, you need to remember, and you have to realize that there are things in your life, that is hindering you from being what you could be. There's things in your life keeping you from doing things by faith. Now, we all have to resolve in our hearts that we run a race. This race takes patience. You see, used to when I was young, I used to run, and I ran in track a time or two. I ran 50-yard dashes. I run 100-yard dashes. And they were quick to run. When I got in college, part of our training conditioning, we'd run the 880s. We'd run the miles, 2 miles. And when we get through running them, we'd run again. And we'd run, and the last two or three that was in the line had to run with the next group. And if you was last two or three in the line, you had to run with the next group. And after a while, you got tired of being the last one in line. And you got running. You gave it everything you had when you first started off. But the point being is, life is a long, long run. I could do this. I could give Brother Jim $100. Now, it might not mean much to Brother Jim. Now, he give me $100. It might mean a little bit more. No, I'm kidding you. But look here. I could give it to him, and he could appreciate it. But if that's all I ever did in life, he might forget it as time goes on. And you know, people has a tendency to forget what you did yesterday, only what you're doing today. So what we have to do is we have to run a race. And in running that race, but there are some times that we have stopped and helped somebody and done something for somebody that they've never forgotten. I remember one time, I've told this story probably before, but right down the road here, one time before hypothermia was understood, where the body temperature is down, I went to a run for a 38-year-old woman, and she was laying in a trailer, sub-zero weather, for 3 days, and the coroner was there. He'd pronounced her dead. Deputies was there. They was fixing to take her funeral home, and they were going to take her there, embalm her, bury her. And whenever I was checking for my paperwork, checking her body, she was cold, mottled, and all those things, just cold to touch. Well, I noticed her stomach twinged. And I pulled her off the couch and started CPR. Well, the coroner thought I was crazy. He said, Bill, he said, she's dead. I've done pronounced her dead. We've done notified the family she's dead. I said, well, I think she's going to live. I think she's alive. And he said, there's no way. She's cold as ice. I said, well, he said, but, of course, he knew me. He's a good friend of mine. He said, I'm going to trust your judgment. I'll go to the hospital and pick her up there. And so we went to the hospital, and I got in the ER. And the doctor there was a good friend of mine as well. And I told him, I said, I've had her back twice breathing with a pulse. He checked her core temperature. It was 61 at that time. They thought the core temperature, the inside temperature, 81 was fatal. He said, there's no way. She's dead. She's not been back. She's not been breathing. I said, yes, she has. He said, no, she's not. I said, doc, she has. He said, just out of respect for you, I'm going to warm her body temperature up. I'm going to give her a lavage and warm her from inside out, and I'm going to pronounce her dead just to give you the benefit of doubt. Well, when I come back from another run, he said, Bill, said she's upstairs wanting to talk to you. And so I went up there, and she said, are you the paramedic? I said, yeah. She said, can I hug your neck? I said, yeah. And she said, I understand that I was on the way to funeral home when you intervened. And you know, for years there, she'd send me something every year and tell me how much she appreciated what I did for her. So sometimes we go through life, and sometimes we made a difference, and sometimes we go through life and we've been able to influence somebody in the Lord. Now, let me give you this. You know why she and she and she here? There was a man and his wife that influenced them. All their life, for the majority of their life, they were made to go to church. They were taught. Now, so they had an influence in their life. So we all run this race. Now get this, man, I'm going to close. It's a personal race for everybody. You have the opportunity of influencing. Y'all have an opportunity of influencing. You will influence him. Just depends on how you're going to influence him. Grandma, I don't know what to call you, but Grandma, I call you. You guys, you are going to influence. Whoever you're teaching down there in Sunday school class, you're influencing. Each of you. See those children? They're looking. They know. They see. Somebody's going to influence them. Hopefully, each of us will have somebody in our life that we look back on and say, man, they moved me toward God. Because of what they did, help me. I've seen people, and I met people in paths of life that they've been influenced to do good. They've been influenced to do evil. I've seen people that's quit because of what they've seen in somebody else. So we all have a personal a race to run. Not only that, but also think about this. Sometimes it gets to be a dangerous race. There's hardships. It's hard. You say, preacher, it should be a lot easier if I just did it. You know, remember this, guys. The grass always looks greener on the other side. Not only that, but also it's a very patient race. It's an endurance race. You got to keep going on. And you get tired, you fall, you stumble, you get up, you run again. You get tired, and you have to keep running. It's an endurance. And then, last but not least, it's persuasive. Somebody you're influencing. Now let me ask you this. We, all them that we read about, could not be made perfect unless they were example to us. Cynthia Boone, I helped make her perfect. Not perfect as in sinless, but perfect her work down here because of her influence to me. Now the question is this. Are you going to be an influence to someone else? Are you going to stay in the race? When it gets hard, you going to quit? Are you going to remove things that slows you down? Are you going to let other people slow you down? Persecution? You know, I think sometimes somebody said, preacher, they said something, I quit. And I think, oh my. How about those poor souls that watch your children be flayed alive just to be able to bring the Bible to you and me? How about those that just watch your children fed to lions just to be able to carry on the church? And we allow a little word or two, and we think that's persecution to make us give up in the race. They need to see endurance. They need to see people finishing the battle. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you. Just as they are not made perfect without us, you will not be made perfect without others that you've influenced and you've been a witness to. And so it's our responsibility to try to be a witness. I was talking about Deborah there. I mean, look at Susie, how God brought her into Deborah's life. Was that chastisement? I'm kidding you. But look here. I'm kidding. How many people has Deborah influenced? I've had a lot of people, girls from camp. I see girls around. And they tell me that she'd been a great influence to them. They are helping her win her maturity, her perfection. She already has rewards in heaven if she's done it. But the good thing about it is when others down here are encouraged by her. Brother Don, people have been encouraged by him. Now you, people that will be encouraged by us. Amen. But we got to keep on the race. Let's stand. How's it tonight? Maybe God's laid something upon your heart. All the race that is set before us. Yes, we get sidelined, and sometimes we're having to be taken out of the ball game. But what we need to do is we need to get our heads together and get back in. I had a coach one time jerk me out, and he said, I don't know where your mind is, but he said, you get your head back together and you can get back in there. And I had to sit there and get my head focused back in what I was supposed to be doing when I went back in there. And I finally said, Coach, I'm ready to go back in. I went back in. I played a different type of ball game because I had to get my mind focused back. Sometimes we just have to get back into the game. Amen. So where are you as we sing?